Here this morning, very glad that you are here, and hope that our lesson this morning will be one that is edifying to each and every one of us. You know, many times we look at the Apostle Paul as an example to the Christian, and this morning we're going to do the same. And there's a passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that I want to look at this morning. That's where we're going to begin our study this morning. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, that's the concluding chapter of that second letter to Timothy. And so Paul seems to be kind of wrapping up his instructions to Timothy. And the passage that I want to look at this morning begins in verse 6. And we're going to read verses 6 through 8. Beginning in verse 6 of 2 Timothy 4, it says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." In this passage, Paul kind of describes his own history and just kind of a synopsis of that history. And this morning, I want to look at what he's talking about in this passage. He's talking about, you know, fighting hard, finishing hard, and doing all of that faithfully. Because I believe that that description depicts what the Christian should be, that Christian that is purposeful in his Christian life, that one that is serving Jesus Christ and dedicated to that service. And so this morning, I want to look at these ideas that Paul presents here and try to understand his approach to that and how we can also, you know, claim that at some point in our lives. You know, and there are a lot of things we can look at in Paul's life. We can look at the different persecutions, the different trials that he had in his life that would make this process more difficult. But this morning, I just want to take a very simple look at his approach, no matter what the circumstances were. So let's begin with that idea of fighting. You know, we recognize that our fight is a little bit different than what you might see on a street corner or something of that nature. We know that we have a spiritual fight. And you know, Paul describes his approach to that fight as something that is purposeful, something that has a purpose, a direct reason for that fight. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to read verses 24 through 27. And here in this passage, Paul kind of compares the spiritual fight to those things that we recognize and understand in the physical. He says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. And thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." You know, here Paul takes the competitive races or fights that we may recognize. You know, we recognize that fight and we recognize what athletes do. And he talks about approaching this with temperance. You know, he says the athletes are temperate in the way that they do things. And you know, if you know anyone that's a real athlete, they, every day of their lives, they are very careful about what they eat, very careful about the things they drink. And then when it gets closer to a competition, all of that changes just a little bit and becomes even more strict and more precise. And it's because they want to be at their best performance when they run that race. You know, and that part about fighting and not beating in the air, you know, his point is to be purposeful. That you have a reason for each swing that you make. You know, I can't help but think, I'm not a sports fan, but I've watched a couple of boxing matches. And you know, those boxers come out at the very beginning and they're doing this fancy footwork and they're whipping their fists really fast. And are they accomplishing anything? They're showboating. That's really all they're doing. I mean, it may help them warm up a little bit, but does it get them any closer to winning that fight? Absolutely not. That's just beating at the air. That's what Paul says don't do. Don't do those things. Be purposeful in all the things that you do. Be temperate so that the things that you do are, you're in the best condition you can be when you do those things in the glory of Christ and in his service. You know, he told Timothy just prior to the passage we read in 2 Timothy, he told Timothy to be instant in season and out of season. You know, it's kind of that same idea as the athlete. It's like every day of your life, you've got to be consistent. You've got to have that focus in mind. And let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Because one of the things that Paul points out is even the things that we do, we may not see the direct outcome of what happens. But we still have to be purposeful, hoping that what we do accomplishes what is meant to be done through the Word of God. Beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, he says, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." Let's also look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, he says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." You know, in the first passage we read there, Paul is talking to the folks in Corinth. He's saying, you know, a lot of y'all are saying that you follow Paul or you follow Apollos or you follow someone else. He says, you're following Jesus Christ. We're just men. We're just instruments in the body of Christ. I may plant the seed. Apollos may water. But you know, he implies in these passages that neither one of them may see the outcome, but God gives the increase. And it's important that we recognize that in our service, that we continually do the things that we do, even if we don't see immediate results, because we may not. You know, and it reminded me of a passage, as I was going through this, it reminded me of a passage in Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter. In Ecclesiastes, 11th chapter, verse 6, Solomon is talking as if he is talking to someone who is a farmer. And he says, "In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whatever both alike, or whether both alike will be good." And what he's saying in this passage, if you look earlier in this chapter, he's talking about things that we have no control over. Things that once they happen, and there's nothing we can do to undo them. And he says, so sow your seed at multiple times because you don't know which is going to take the best effect and which one is going to germinate the most. I think that's what Paul was saying to Timothy when he said, be instant in season and out of season. He says, when the conditions look good, be consistent. When the conditions don't look good, be consistent. Still be about the work of the kingdom and plant the seeds. You know, because sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I see things that I think are really good condition for something, and it just turns out lousy. And sometimes I think something is just a train wreck from the beginning, and it becomes a positive. See, there are things we don't understand. There are things going on that we don't get. And whether that's, you know, the day that a person has had, or whether that's just, you know, just whatever kind of actions can happen throughout a day and interactions with other people, we never know what's actually going to happen or take place. And so we just have to continually present the Word of God to everyone that we come in contact with, instant, in season and out of season, and to always be consistent in that work. And you know, Paul demonstrated that in his life. Throughout his entire life, he showed that he was consistent. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 22, Paul says, "All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household." I think this is a very important passage when we look at where Paul is at the time that he's writing this letter to Timothy and the time that he wrote this Philippian letter. Paul was in prison in Rome. And when Paul was in prison in Rome, he used that solitude to be positive in the body of Jesus Christ. He was writing letters of instruction and letters of encouragement to various individuals and to various churches. And from this passage, we recognize that he was also taking the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that had been entrusted with his care. And so those of Caesar's household also obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm only going to claim this about me, because I don't know exactly how your practices are, but I look at situations and I go, there's no chance I'm going to have any hope there. And then there are other times I'm in a situation that I just totally blow the opportunity. You know, so when we think about Paul and we think about Paul in this setting, how many times do we use our quote-unquote spare time? Or how many times do we properly use those times when inconvenience holds us hostage, for lack of a better term? You know, I remember as I was going through this one particular event that I thought I just totally blew that as far as opportunities were concerned. In 2004, I took my first trip to Germany with the place that I work with. And on the return trip, this was after I had been there for 16 days, and being in a place I was really unfamiliar with, I slept very little, and I was ready to be home. I was ready to be with my family. And you got a 10.5-hour flight from Frankfurt to Dallas, you know, plus all the check-in and getting through customs and all that kind of stuff. So you're looking at least 12 to 13 hours of time. And then we get on with the little puddle jumper that goes from Dallas to Lubbock, and we taxi out on the tarmac, and then we sit because a storm rolled in. And for 1.5 to 2 hours, we're sitting in this airplane, just waiting for an opportunity to take off. And you can only imagine the type of complaining and grumbling that was going on. And while I was sitting there, I didn't take an opportunity to talk to those people about Jesus Christ. I didn't take that opportunity to study scripture while I was sitting there with nothing else that I could do. You know, how many times do we do that? But yet we look at Paul's example, and Paul was always looking for that opportunity to share the gospel, no matter what was going on, what circumstance he was under. And I think we can greatly learn from that. Another thing, as Paul approached his battle, as he approached that fight, he didn't allow anything in his history to set him back. You know, oftentimes we think, man, I've just done too many awful things to really be accepted by Jesus Christ. You know, Paul persecuted the church. Paul was responsible for some people being killed. I don't think any of us has ever been that bad from our perspective of being bad. But you know what? Paul was not going to let those things of the past affect his life where he was at in the service of Jesus Christ. Philippians, the 3rd chapter, beginning in verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." You know, and I'm not gonna kid you and say that Paul never did have questions about where he was at and why. There are times where he said, "I didn't even deserve to become an apostle because I persecuted the church." But he wasn't going to let that keep him from doing what he needed to be doing. So why do we look behind us? Why do we look back to things as if we've left a friend behind or something of that nature? When we look at those things that we gave up, those things that we practiced temperance on, and those things that we did that we just shouldn't have done, why do we let that continually hamper us? Because once we've been baptized in the blood of Jesus Christ, we're a new creature, and all that stuff does not matter. And you know, and even if we've done something that we consider bad after we became a Christian, that blood continues to cleanse us. And the thing that we need to realize is just because we've done something bad, we cannot do anything to undo it. Put it in the past. Forget it. Don't let it bother you. But instead, look towards that calling that comes in Jesus Christ. You know, we've got to continually look forward and to look to those things that we need to do, those things that we need to change our lives to be more and more like Jesus Christ. And you know, I think when Paul talked about this, he could really look at these things and focus on these things because he understood the magnitude of living that life. You know, when he gave the same instructions to Timothy in the first letter to Timothy, in chapter 6 of that letter, he tells Timothy to fight the good fight. He says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." He said, fight the good fight. And why? So that you can lay hold on eternal life. That's why you and I need to fight the good fight. Because that's expected of us in order to gain that eternal life that Christ promised through his death, burial, and resurrection. You know, Paul talks about how he fought the good fight and he finished his course. Excuse me. But you know, when we talk about finishing something, that means there had to be a start. You know, and we all recognize that Paul's start happened as a Christian, happened on the road to Damascus. Let's look at that passage. Acts chapter 9 talks about Paul's conversion, or Saul at the time, on the road to Damascus. And in chapter 9, verses 3 through 8, it says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' And then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. And then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus." You know, we recognize this as Paul's start to his Christian life. You know, Ananias appeared to him later, and he says, "Why tarriest thou, Paul?" He says, "Arise and be baptized." You know, and we learn that when we read Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, 26, all of those where that account is given. He says, why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized. And then we know at that point, Paul became that new creature in Jesus Christ. But you know, I think his path started before that. He just didn't recognize it. You know, and I'm not going to say that we fit this same picture. But you know, Paul in Acts chapter 22 and verse 3, he says, "I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today." You know, Paul was raised, or he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers of the Jewish religion and the law of God. And Paul knew that law, but Paul got distracted. You know, and sometimes in our Christian lives, we get distracted as well. And it prevents us from reaching that finish line if we allow it to take over. And if we don't get that sorted out from our lives. You know, Paul's aha moment was that road to Damascus. He says, all those things that I've been learning, all of the laws, all of those prophecies, all of that revealed this man to me. But instead, I allowed all of the traditions and all of the ideas that this man was going to come as a great soldier and free us from the Romans, I let all that get in my way. And I lost focus on the Word of God. And we have to be very careful that we don't allow our focus to be robbed from us. And we have to finish that course. We've got to continue on that path. And we've got to stay on the course. You know, and that brings me to the final point that Paul makes, and that's keeping the faith. You know, one of the things that we think about when we think about competitions, we think about, you know, different sporting events, all of those have to fit within a certain guideline in order for you to receive that prize, right? And I believe that's what Paul is talking about when he's talking about keeping the faith. I'm striving towards that goal that Jesus Christ has set and God has set forth in his word. And I'm going to stick between those guidelines. You know, when I was preparing this, I couldn't help but think about, you know, what we would consider great athletes in our history, and some that just really blew it. And one that came to mind was Lance Armstrong. You know, he was a great cyclist. He won the Tour de France so many times. Got these great awards, got these great, you know, bonus or cash awards, plus, you know, just the notoriety of being the greatest in the world. And then it was discovered that he'd been cheating the system. You know, he'd been using drugs to enhance his performance and thus giving him an advantage over the other athletes and then winning based on that. And then he was stripped of everything that he ever got. And you know, when Paul was talking about the athletes of the world that are running that race, they're running for a corruptible crown. You know, Lance Armstrong corrupted his own crown. But when we strive for those things that are spiritual, we strive for those things that are in Jesus Christ, we're striving for a crown that's eternal. And so this fight and that continual pursuit towards that finish, it has eternal impact in our lives. And we've got to be focused on that in order to keep that drive that is necessary. You know, not only that, we've got to keep the love of Jesus Christ in our minds, that he sacrificed his life for us so that we might even have this opportunity. How do we demonstrate that better than showing our love through obedience and through humility in his will and his commandments? See, we have to strive for that goal. We have to strive to be more like Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, in verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, "Imitate me." You know, and if we just stopped right there, we go, man, this guy is really arrogant. He thinks all of us ought to be just like him, but he qualifies that. He says, "Just as I also imitate Christ." You know what? Paul probably did things in his life that didn't imitate Christ. And he says, those things, you can ignore those. Those are not important. But in the things where I imitate Christ, be like me. Because that's what you need to be doing. You need to imitate Christ in your life. That's what every one of us needs to be doing, is imitating Christ. And the more we imitate Christ, the more comfortable that becomes. And then we get into this mode of almost muscle memory, you know, for lack of a better term. And it's just part of our nature. That's the way we live our lives. That's what Paul did. It was his nature. And he lived that life with that goal in focus and his eyes directed towards that goal. He never forgot the great promises that Jesus had given him. You know, another thing that I think is very important that we see through the Apostle Paul is as he gained his continual development and as he looked to the things that he needed to do and the things that he had overcome, he never lorded it over anyone else. You know, in Galatians, the 5th chapter, in verse 13, he's giving instructions to those in Galatia about this very thing. He says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Now, Paul, when he was talking to the folks at Galatia, he was saying, you know, you have been freed from the rites, the ceremonies, and all those things of the old law. But you know, I believe that principle applies to each and every one of us who have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and are no longer enslaved by sin. But you know, just because we've reached that point, we can't look down on others who haven't reached that point. We can't belittle others because they haven't developed to the spiritual level that we have. Because you know what? We're all nothing. This is not our development. It's Christ working in us. And without Christ, we would still be nowhere. We would still be empty. It's his gift. And the way we need to look at it is the way that Paul looked at it. He says, you know what? This is wonderful. This is something that I can long for. This is something I can cherish, the return of Jesus Christ. And the reason I can do that is because he's promised me. He's given me hope of an eternal life in heaven. And I want to share that with everybody I possibly can so that they too can have that hope, knowing that without him, they don't have that hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22. Paul says, "To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." You know, Paul wasn't saying there that he had the ability to save people, but he had the ability to share the gospel of Jesus Christ so they might find salvation through him. You and I have that same ability. Are we going to use that ability? We should. Because when we use that ability, then hopefully at some point in our lives, we can be as confident as Paul was. When in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, he says, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only," now pay very close attention to this, "but also to all who have loved his appearing." You know, Paul in this passage is talking about everyone who hears the gospel of Jesus Christ and responds to that gospel of Jesus Christ and are baptized for the remission of sins. Jesus prayed the same prayer to God right before his crucifixion. He said, I pray for those that you have given me, and I'm going to paraphrase this, those that you have given me and that have been with me through this time on life, but Father, I also pray for all of those who hear their message. All of those who hear their message and are obedient to it. That's what Paul's saying. He says, I'm not praying only because of me, but to all of those who love the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, through Paul's example, we can be purposeful Christians. One who's dedicated to serving Christ. One who fights because there's a purpose. And we fight that one round at a time. And we continually stay focused. No matter what comes our way, we stay focused on the purpose that we have. And we finish that life, the life that was bought with a precious price. A life that is a continual transformation towards being more and more like Jesus Christ. And we've got to pursue that transformation through the Word of God. With complete confidence, having the faith that He's going to return someday, and those who are obedient to Him, He will accept into an eternal kingdom in heaven. I long for that day, and I hope you do as well. I want to be there, and I want you to be there. But if you're not a Christian this morning, you've not started on that path. You can't finish something you haven't started. But we want you to be there. And if you haven't learned about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want to share that with you. We want to study with you and help you understand what that really means. But if you've already had that study and you understand that you need to be baptized, we want to assist you with that as well. And you know, if you're a Christian this morning and you struggle with your spiritual walk, welcome to the neighborhood. Your brothers and sisters in Christ have also struggled. But we want to help one another. We want to be like Paul when he was in isolation. He was writing letters to encourage his fellow Christians and to instruct them in areas where he may have gotten information where they had done wrong. And if you are struggling with anything spiritually this morning, there are brothers and sisters in Christ that want to help you with that. If you're subject to the gospel call, if you have a spiritual need this morning in Jesus Christ, come forward and let your needs be known as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.